Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And I will tell you, we're closing in on a very important date.
Really? What is that?
The raffle.
Oh, yeah. That's this Saturday, or this Friday.
The all-expense-paid trip to GABF, where we will be. So whoever wins this will see us there.
Yeah, you can hang out afterwards if you're even in the mood for hanging out, because after you get a chance to try 6,000-7,000 freaking beers, man, over 5 hours or whatever, good luck with that, you know. Good luck with trying to, like, yeah, I'm in the mood for going out.
Just imagining, how do you portion that out?
Oh, dude. It's,
I mean, if you did even half-ounce samples,
well,
they do
1 ounce samples, but I mean, you're talking 600-700 breweries. You're not going to be able to get to all of them. Even if you bought tickets to all four sessions, you won't be able to get to all of them. Even if you tried to have only one beer from each brewery and attended all four sessions, you still wouldn't get to all of them. Even, wow. You know, it is beer mecca. It is amazing when you see football fields and football fields and football fields of just beer boosts.
Well, that Denver Convention Center is huge.
Huge.
Used to go to boat shows there as a kid.
Oh, really?
It was insane.
Yeah,
I actually raced RC cars at the convention center when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a big RC racer.
Used to be.
Starsky & Hutch type?
Used to be, but I traded my RC Frog for a Kawasaki KX80.
Oh.
I had that thing souped up, my RC car, and this kid had this racing KX80, and he saw me tooling around with my RC car. And he's like, I'll trade you. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I profited on that deal.
I was going to say, man, that's a pretty good deal. I think I would have took that trade in a heartbeat.
Oh, hell yeah. So I got out of RC cars and got into motocross.
Nice. Mm. I didn't know you were into motocross.
I was for a while.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about that offline, man. Mm. So, yeah, and then, of course, before that, though, you know what we got? We got our In Your Face show.
Oh,
we're already
due
for the freaking August edition, man, so... We gotta get that queued up. I know. Just like again, we talked about last week's episode. It's crazy how fast time's flying by, or whatever this year. But so we'll knock that out as well. And of course, beer. We do this show. We always have beer in our hand, and this is a continuation from the beer bloggers and writers conference that we attended in Asheville. And the cool thing about that is people attend that from all over the country, and they're encouraged to bring beer from their respective areas. And I know we featured Wicked Weed last week, which we've already featured before. And I said, like, geez, you know, like, there's so many great breweries out there. We shouldn't have to repeat. And I feel like I almost need to make an announcement when we feature a brewery for the first time on this show. Like, we're some salty dogs that have been doing this for a decade or so. But I've had these guys, that they are Lazy Magnolia Brewing Company out of Kilmer, Mississippi.
Love that name, man.
It's just down, it's really close to New Orleans. It's not that far from Slidell, which is like, I consider a suburb of New Orleans or whatever. So it's down on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi or whatever.
Mm.
But I've had their Southern Pecan, and they have a Southern Pecan that's kind of like their flagship beer or whatever. And that's a pretty good beer. They also had their Sweet Potato Cream Stout, which is... I thought it wasn't bad, but you know, for this show, I really want to feature this beer because I thought this was their best beer that I had while I was at the conference, and it is their, and this name even sounds like a Mick Dagger name. It's their Timber Beast Rye IPA.
Yeah.
And, the bottle says it's clocking at 9%. Their website says it's 8.9, but I'm gonna go by what the bottle says because federal law, you know, usually the label has to be right. So. If you go to lazymagnolia.com, you can get all the information. I do have a little bit of an excerpt, though, before I don't know if we want to play that. Or let's talk about the beer first, and then we'll play this little excerpt.
Read from the label, if I would, please?
Sure, go for it.
Timber Beast is the first in Lazy Magnolia's Back Porch series. A spicy, full-bodied imperial rye pale ale balanced with a genius dose of Zython's hops. Retreat to the back porch and be a little lazy. Big cheers, y'all.
So the beer, as you've already said, is part of their back porch series. It pours a nice amberish. I mean, it's like, it's in between their...
It's darker for a rye IPA.
Yeah, it's like... It's not like amber. It's not orangish per se. I mean, it is kind of orangish. I don't know. It's not amber though. Like amber, I think is a little bit more darker or whatever, but, it has a little bit of an off-white colored head. Somewhat good head retention, definitely good lacing happening on the glass, especially for a higher gravity beer like this at 9%. I really like the nose. There's this hoppy resin, some floral, but you definitely get that spicy rye with that citrus, like orange. And I'm going to say, last week we talked, I said mandarin, but I also said tangerine. This, I pick up a little bit more tangerine. There is this nice, deep caramel, nose. You can sense it's there. It's in the back. Then I sense these wood tones, and I don't think this beer is aged in wood, but you pick it up but I don't believe it's been aged on wood per se. The flavor, excuse me. That's how thick this beer is.
Might be those Zython hops.
Maybe it is. The flavor starts caramel and then moves into that spicy rye and then into a moderate bitterness with that tropical fruit. It finishes on the dry side. But even though it's kind of dry on the finish, it's still juicy though, if that makes sense. Like, how can something be juicy and dry? But it does. And the alcohol is noticeable, but it's not overwhelming. I wouldn't say it's hot, you know, and the body and the mouth feels medium with carbonation being the same. And it's got a nice smooth texture. It's kind of chewy. It's even kind of creamy though, too. And which is usually a spicy beer and creamy usually doesn't, you don't have that in the same sentence per se, you know, you don't in the same thought, but it does. It's an interesting beer. I like it a lot.
Part of me wants to eat an omelet with cheese, onion, and ham.
Cheese omelet.
With this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I want an omelet. I want an omelet with it. And I'm sorry. They're Zythos hops. I don't know why I said Zython.
What? Zythos, Zython, whatever.
Whatever.
But I do have a little...
Great beer, man.
I do have a little bit of an excerpt or whatever, but real quickly, I'll talk about how it was founded by Mark and Leslie Henderson in 2003. They're both born and raised in Mississippi. They are Mississippi's first package brewery since Prohibition. The couple met in college and then moved to the Gulf Coast in 2000 to pursue careers in engineering. Leslie bought Mark a homebrew kit for Christmas.
I love how that all begins.
Yeah, Mark says the first batch was drinkable, and then he goes the second. He goes, well, let's just say Leslie said time for you to move to the back of the bus and do it yourself engineering, and she took over the brewing. And so by early 2007, they were selling beer in over 300 bars and restaurants in Mississippi before expanding out of the state to Alabama and Florida and getting into bottles that same year. And they're currently distributed in 18 states. They're in New York, but they're not North Carolina, man. It drives me nuts. And that's the reason why I was really excited to have their beer.
And when did this all begin?
2003. So Leslie went and attended I'm trying to think of what brewing school she attended. I remember reading it. I don't have it in my notes. It's like the Brewers Guild. I think it's up in Vermont. It's not Siebel. It's not UC Davis or anything like that. But
so these are her brainchild?
So she's the brewer. Yeah. She's the brewer. And then Mark works on, naming ideas, packaging, labeling, welding. He does everything else on the back end or whatever. So I thought it was pretty cool. But I do.
I can honestly say this. Mark, I'm in love with your wife.
But we do have a little excerpt I want to play for you from Mark. He kind of talks about the early days of Lazy Magnolia real quick. So just give a listen.
Beer in the state of Mississippi is not an alcoholic beverage. Excuse me? Yeah, it's beer, and that's actually regulated by the Mississippi State Tax Commission. You need to call Ronnie Lynch. And so I called Ronnie Lynch, and I said, Ronnie, can I brew beer in the state of Mississippi? I've been told no 1,000 times. And Ronnie says, sure. Okay. Are you sure? He says, yeah. You send me a check for $1,000. You get some fingerprints and a little data done, right? You show me your federal brewer's permit. We got you covered. And I was like, that's it? Ronnie, how come there are no breweries in the state of Mississippi? He says, I don't know. You're the first person to ask.
So that is Mark Henderson. He was at, this is old, but it was at a Mississippi Hometown Network talking about creative economy success stories in the state of Mississippi. And he's talking about everybody just kind of assumed you couldn't have a brewery in Mississippi because they're one of the last states to legalize home brewing and all this other stuff. And so when he contacted, you know, their equivalent of the Alcohol Beverage Control Commission, like we have here in this state, they looked at it and he said that, hey, I'll call you right back. And then like 3 hours later, the guy said, I can't. He goes, from what I'm reading, Mississippi doesn't consider beer to be following the alcohol. You need to call Tax Bureau because it falls in their basket. And so that's what he's talking about. So he calls that guy and he's like, yeah. And he goes, just give us $1,000 and your application fingerprints and your federal notice. And yeah. And he goes, well, then how come, you know, and that's, I think it sums it up so perfectly.
That's so crazy.
Then how come there isn't more breweries, or how come there isn't? He's like, I don't know. You're the first one to ask. Like, nobody challenges it. You know, it's kind of like the old, you know, the story, I don't know if you heard about it, about like, how they took monkeys, they put them in a room, and every single time they had a banana at the top, anytime a monkey would climb, they would sprinkle cold water so the monkeys were conditioned.
Yeah, not climb. To go for the banana.
And
yeah.
They eventually switched out each monkey until it got to a point where it was preconditioned, where if anybody climbed, the other monkeys would team up on the other monkey that was trying to stop it. And no, there was no water, and nobody knows why to question it. It was kind of like the same thing, like, you know, Pavlov's dog theory.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know,
that's what,
like,
I was thinking.
Hello, man. Like, somebody asked the question, you know, but nobody did. So,
well, you know, the reward goes to those who dare to challenge convention. Man.
Definitely. I think so. And you know, thank you very much, Mark and Leslie Henderson, for challenging the status quo, for taking up that fight or whatever, and bringing beer to craft beer to the state of Mississippi. So
I am loving this beer.
Yeah, this is a great beer. I loved it. I will let you try the Southern Pecan and the Sweet Potato Cream Stout some other time.
Sweet Potato.
Hey, Asagio, whatever, man. You say tomato, I say tomato. Yeah.
No, this is, I love rye IPAs, but I'll be honest with you. This is going to the top of my list for
rye
IPAs.
It's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's probably... I mean, I'm not going to say it's like the best ever, but this is really
what
good.
What I've had.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean,
no.
I like it.
I mean, no. It's really, really good. I think I would like to see the alcohol buried in there a little bit better, but I still think it's a phenomenal beer, man.
Are you a fan of, what is it, St. Lenny's?
St. Lenny's.
That's from, oh my God. It's a collab. I think it's a collaboration between, who's they have the traditional Jewish flair on their...
Oh, you mean Schmaltz?
Isn't that a Schmaltz and...
Oh, yeah. Schmaltz Brewing Company. Well, they had the Coney Island brand, and then they sold it to Boston Beer, but now they're contract brewing it for Boston Beer, so...
Well, St. Lenny is a variant and a take on a rye.
Yeah.
That is just... I like it, but this is up there for me with the rye IPAs I've had, man.
I think
it's amazing.
Even though when I say that I want the alcohol buried in there, hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I think it's hot, like it's all like an alcoholic pop or alcoholic bar.
You don't notice it.
Yeah, you don't notice it. Like, you're going to be screwed if you're drinking a six-pack of this. You're going to be really screwed.
You're not going to get through a six-pack
No. But I do like it. I like it a lot. And I will let you try it. I do like their Southern Pecan. But I really wanted, I think enough people have either had it or heard of it that I wanted to do something else. I was just excited to get our hands on some Lazy Magnolia because, again, we can't get it here in the state of North Carolina. And I'm really pissed off that freaking... New York can get it, but we can't. I mean, what the hell's up with that?
You can get it on the island, Manhattan Island. You just can't get it in North Carolina. We're closer to Mississippi than they are.
Yeah, I know.
And it's Lazy Magnolia Brewing.
Yeah, right. And again, you can go to lazymagnolia.com to get more information. And we'll also have in the show notes this link. Mark had a huge interview on here. He goes on for a while, kind of talking about the early stories.
To watch that.
It is. It's pretty, because it's like, really? Like, it's just like, wow. You know, I definitely think you should, if you're even thinking about opening up a brewery, you should watch this.
Especially in Mississippi.
Yeah, definitely if you're in Mississippi. No, but I think it'd be eye-opening to, again, you should ask, because there's so many people that you'll deal with in the bureaucracy of it who will say, well, no, you can't do that. Okay, where does it say that? I mean, ask them. Ask them to show you, because I've had to deal with that here in the state of North Carolina. And it's not because they're idiots, they're stupid. It's just like they were told that. Okay, you were told that, but who told that person?
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you're like, all of a sudden, it's like, well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, that doesn't mean I can't do it, you know, just because, and you need to, you know, again, you know. So, yeah, good
on
him.
Well, I thank Mark for challenging convention. Well, I thank you for challenging convention.
I thank Leslie for challenging convention. Say, hey, dude, you suck. Yeah, I'm brewing the beer.
Yeah, Leslie, we really love you. You are a beer genius.
And Mark, hey, we love you too, man, because you come up with all the, you know, the I like the name Timber Beast. He does, you
the
know,
labeling
yeah,
on this.
Supposedly, he does all the theme, or he does all the branding and stuff like that. And
he's got this very outdoorsy national park feel on this, with a black and white bearded man with a flannel shirt and a pickaxe and Timber Beast, but it's all inside of a shield, like a patch that you would see on
a park ranger's.
It's freaking awesome. Way to go. And don't forget, you can get link to the show notes right there. If you're listening on iTunes, just click on the image, the Beer Army Engaged image, and then the show notes will pop up, and you can link to everything from there. And if you are on iTunes or Stitcher listening to Beer Army Engaged, make sure that you rate and review. Please do that.
Yeah.
At a minimum rate.
Yeah. Tell us if we suck. Tell us if we're okay. Exactly. Tell us if we're good. We need the feedback, because that's the only way you make something better.
So. Well, not only that, but the more people that do rate and review, all of that gets passed on and will show up in more people's feeds as potential podcasts from beer related and beer culture podcasts. Yeah. And stick around. We have our Heroes Never Die segment coming up, showcasing the good that people do in our community. So stick around.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Don't forget beerarmy.org. Not only is it your resource for your swag for Beer Army.
Definitely your swag.
And all the other stuff. But as well, there's a lot of good info up there. Beer Army events that are coming. I know we're planning for later this year. We're going to have our Defy Gravity coming back again.
Yeah, no, we're definitely looking to change Defy Gravity. Probably make it more of a homebrew type focus and kind of like a competition. I'm really excited about that. And then, of course, like you said, beerarmy.org, we have... You know, the blogging, I did write a blog about...
that's what I wanted to bring up.
Well, obviously, I write a blog, but it's been a long time since I've written kind of more of a personal type blog. Usually, I cover third-party stuff or stuff in the industry, but being at the Beer Bloggers Conference, I wanted to kind of cover that, so I kind of just cranked out a blog, but I've gotten away from writing about me because I feel like it's so self-centered, and I don't know, it just doesn't feel right anymore. So I've gotten away from that for years. I haven't really written about me or how I feel about Beer Army or about anything. I usually try to write about a third, a third party subject, like women in beer or, you know, different aspects about beer where it's not about me per se, or, you know, Beer Army.
No, I get it. So, well, you're not an arrogant dude. You never have been.
Well, people
you're
who
confident.
Don't
confident.
I think people who don't know me would maybe disagree or whatever. They just see from the outside.
You know, I know the altruism you bring to the table and how much you want to focus on what good others are doing.
Yeah, definitely.
But you still have your own effort and everything else. You're a confident dude, and a lot of people who aren't confident will take confidence as arrogance.
Yeah,
and it's not the case. But I did want to bring that up. The fact of the blogs, they're definitely worth reading. So definitely hit up beerarmy.org. Check that out. And just realize that the culture that is Beer Army is based on a foundation of not only altruism and entrepreneurship in society, but it's that altruism is really what encapsulates it all. We're all in this big blue orb together.
That's right. And you know, what makes it even better is when people who do things that I think are out of the ordinary, extraordinary, and what I would consider heroic. And heroic means that if you did something heroic, then to me, you're a hero. And I really... frustrated, I think, at times with our society and what they can kind of consider heroes or hero worship. And I totally disagree on some levels. You know, if you're a movie star, okay, you're doing a job. That your job is to act.
Well,
that doesn't make you a hero. Or if you throw a pigskin, you know, for $40 million a year or whatever, again, that is your job. It's a sport. You know, like, is that heroic or is saving somebody's life heroic, you know, or impacting somebody's life? I mean, I guess that's where maybe they do consider those types of personalities heroic, because they can say, oh, you inspire me to do this and that. And that is good. That's
inspiration.
Important.
Inspiration's one thing.
But inspiring
heroism
somebody
is another thing.
And physically stepping into that gap,
exactly.
like you always say, you know, it's two different things.
Well, and it's that time here on the program where we separate and I only highlight that one specific thing. When everything falls apart, we're going to find out who steps in the gap.
Victory! I guess we're doing back-to-back weeks of heroic stuff out of the state of Texas.
There's a lot of heroes in Texas.
Yeah, and so out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, this roulette officer, he responded to an unresponsive toddler situation. And just give a listen.
Lights and sirens blaring. Officer Patrick Ray raced to a call for a child in trouble.
The whole time I'm going through, I'm just playing through my head. I didn't know if it was a drowning. I didn't know if she was choking on something.
She's turning blue.
Turning blue?
Yes.
With a frightened father on the line with 911, the child's mother carried her limp daughter outside toward the sound of approaching sirens.
It was the scariest thing to hand her over to somebody I didn't know, but I put all my faith and all my trust in him that he knew what to do.
In those moments, Tammy Norvell did not know what was wrong with her daughter. Minutes earlier, they were playing in a baby pool and running around the yard.
And she just kind of just goes real limp on me.
When Tammy picked up 22-month-old Bexley, something was wrong.
Her lips started turning blue. And I yelled for my husband, and I told him to call 911, and he did.
As Officer Ray arrived, his training kicked in. He looked for blockages in Bexley's airway once,
open your mouth.
Then again,
open your mouth.
And finally, Bexley could breathe.
I mean, it's just so emotional thinking if it weren't for him, I could be picking out a casket today, living every parent's nightmare, and I'm not.
Man, wow. I got chills, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And he had a body camera on. And I know we've talked about that whole thing, about the whole police thing, and they're wearing more and more cameras, and they're doing it for not just their safety, but the public safety. And what they don't talk about, or what we didn't play, I mean, there's a longer segment. I highly recommend you look at this whole...
Who did that news story, by the way?
That was a Fox 4 affiliate out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Oh, they did an awesome job.
Yeah, I thought they did a pretty good job. The reporter was Diana Zaga. And yeah. And anyway, so the what they... And earlier in the setup, what they... or if you read the show notes or whatever, he was... I guess they clock out on their computer and it's, you know, everything's wired now, you know? Mm-hmm. So he was going to chow. He was going to lunch. He clocks out off his computer. So he's getting ready to lunch. All of a sudden he hears a call. Well, that call, he realizes like, hey, I'm probably the closest guy to that. He what does he do? He clocks back in and he rushes, you know, as fast as he's going. He says he's playing in his head. Like, you know, he's on the phone with 911 too. He's getting information fed in from 911. Like, okay, we have an unresponsive toddler. She was playing in a pool, but you know, it turns out it's like a little kiddie pool. You know, it wasn't, you know, he doesn't know, is this a drowning situation? Is this, you know, he doesn't, you know, you got all this stuff he says playing through his head. And, again, the person that we're talking about is Officer Patrick Ray. He's our hero. So, and then the mother that was talking was Tammy Norvell. And the video to me that really gets me is from his body or from his cruiser camera. She sees the car. She starts coming to him, and the body's so limp. This 22-month-old, you know, so not even 2 years old.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know, man. If I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, fuck, man. I like, because you don't know. And she's been unresponsive. Like, holy crap, man. But it shows from his body camera, it shows him, he grabs the girl. He brings her over to the grass. Good on him for not putting her on the sidewalk in case she goes into convulsions or whatever, because concrete's not good for a kicking body. You know? Puts her on the grass or whatever, and just like he's telling her, open her mouth, even though she's unresponsive. And then he sees a coin. It ended up being a coin in her mouth or whatever. And then they took her. She had some other another one that was in there when they took her to the hospital for the X-rays. But he talks about how he has two boys, and one of them's like 12 months old. And so he said, you know, he talks about how it hit really, really home. For him, and the girl's name was Bexley Norvell. So Bexley was the little girl that he saved or whatever. Man. And he stopped by the hospital to see, just to check in on her. And he says that, you know, again, he admits that the call got to him because his own son's 12 months old and he has another one that's 5. And you know, Tammy just said, there, you know, she says, I can't repay him. She goes, there's just no way. You know, there's just no way. And you know, she got on Facebook to thank him. And So the post kept getting shared and shared, and that's how I saw it or whatever in the feed or whatever. So, stuff like that with social media, I'm so glad because I think that's also what affiliates and Fox, like in this case it was Fox News or any NBC or ABC, that's when they get to the attention when something goes viral like this. And
well, good on him, man. The thought for me, the thought of resuscitating an infant like that is, they're so delicate. You have to be so careful because you can do a lot of damage.
I mean,
it's not like a grown adult where you can afford to crack a rib or two. Right. Having to expose something that's blocking an airway. I mean, you can do that on an adult. On a child, you can't do that. You can collapse a whole rib cage.
You could crush them, and kill them, So, good on Officer Patrick Ray, and thank you for not being the individual who's been like, oh, fuck it, I'm on lunch. Some other guy can deal with that, and because maybe that individual wouldn't have been able to do it, or wouldn't have been able to respond in time or I know they all get the training, but sometimes, again, it's that fight or flight response. I mean, you might perform 99 out of 100 times, but that one time could be the time where you didn't perform and this child dies.
Mm-hmm.
So, good on Bexley for being a tough little kid.
Yeah.
Good on Tammy Norvell for sharing her this very emotional story. And then, of course, to Officer Patrick Ray for being our hero.
I'll tell you what, Bexley has a friend for life.
Yeah, definitely so.
And I want to give a cheers.
Yeah.
I want to give a cheers to Patrick.
With our Timber
Ray.
Beast?
Yeah. Cheers, amigo. Nice heroes never die.
But now we got to get off the seriousness, and we got to get into this break and get to something funny.
Let's do it. We're going to come back with our Yikum to Sue because there's a lot of stuff in this crazy world you just can't make up.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Why hasn't a hipster invented skinny overalls?
Are you kidding me? Just stick your head under the water and breathe.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
A big reminder for you. Look, we couldn't do this without you.
Mm-hmm.
The Beer Army Foundation is nothing without the soldiers.
It's absolutely nothing. I mean, Mick, I cannot... You throw it out there as a simple statement.
Well, it's very simple.
No, I know, but it's such a huge fact.
But it's power and its magnitude.
It's like, I know people probably say, oh, you're just pandering to me or whatever. No, dude. It's like, or dudettes. It's like, without you guys,
dudettes,
the wheels on this machine would just not turn. It is because of everybody who supported us all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have the luxury to be the face. I have that special privilege, I guess. And when I go to like the Beer Bloggers Conference, or I go to the NC Nonprofit Conference, or I go to the Craft Brewers Conference, or any one of these other things, what's Beer Army Foundation? And we talk about it, and everybody's just blown away. And it's like, I wish I could take the credit for that. I can't. The only credit I could take is the fact that, okay, maybe I started it, but where it has gone is so beyond my capability. And I humbly say that. And I know people probably
it's a community, man.
It's a whole community.
It's
like you said, it's a lifestyle brand,
And like I said, with that community, man, it is you that makes it possible for us to even do Beer Army Engaged. And
definitely,
we thank you for doing so. And if you haven't hit up patreon.com/beerarmy, go ahead and do so, because you can be a part of this in whatever way you see fit. And in doing so, there's a lot of rewards for you to do that. And I thank those that already have those super soldiers. And by the way, we have our in-your-face...
Yeah.
Coming down here.
Yeah, we got to do that tomorrow night. Yeah.
One-on-one with both me and Dustin over a Google Hangout. It's fun. It's an awesome time. We feature a beer and we talk about things that are going on in the back episodes of podcasts. You can engage us with any questions that you have. So definitely hit it up and check it out. And right now, I mean, it's time for us to laugh. We just got done with an awesome segment of a police officer saving the life of a 22-month-old, and a big salute to Patrick Ray for the heroes never die. But in all seriousness, I mean, life
You got to temper it. You got to balance it. The yin to the yang.
Seriousness. Well, you have that. You have that seriousness, but then you have to have your levity.
Yeah.
And this is that time, because in this world, there is just so much insane stuff that happens. You just can't believe it's actually real. How can fact be stranger than fiction? You just can't make it up. So let's yick 'em to Sue. You know I'm keen on 911 calls.
I know. You've been a little terrible.
I'm sorry, but there have just been
another one?
There have just been some gems.
Yeah.
Now, in England, they have 999, which
999.
It's their equivalent to our 911.
Okay. 999. Right? Oh, okay. Good to know if I'm in England.
And I have portions of a phone call from a man after his girlfriend's cat ate all of his bacon. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
My girlfriend is letting me, the cat eat my bacon.
Sorry?
My girlfriend let the cat eat my bacon.
Right, okay. What would you like? What would you like the police to do with regard to that, sir?
Because I'm in the mood to bar out.
So you want to beat up your girlfriend because the cat's eating your bacon?
I want to press charges.
Against who? Your girlfriend or the cat?
Or the cat.
Both of them.
Right. So, it's not a criminal offence to let a cat eat your bacon, okay? And we don't arrest cats. I'm very sorry.
You gotta love the humour of the Brits.
I don't.
You really do.
I guess they don't take it as serious as we do when people are stupid and calling 911. I guess 999 is a little more relaxed.
Well, based off of that, then yeah, you might think that. You
come to that conclusion or whatever. I mean, she's saying, I'm sorry. I would have been like,
but don't arrest cats.
Listen, you retard, you know. It's like, oh, my God.
My girlfriend's cat ate my bacon. And what a bite I'm at. You want to press charges?
Yeah. So you want to press charges? Yeah. On your girlfriend or the cat? Both.
You don't understand. It was my last bit of maple bacon.
Oh, my gosh.
It was freaking delicious.
I guess the bacon must be phenomenal.
Oh.
I would think that we would have the corner on the bacon, especially here in North Carolina. But
well, if you ever hear me call 911 over a bacon call, that was some serious bacon.
I wonder what would happen if you called 999 from here? Would it go to England? Maybe we could do some prank calls or something.
I doubt it. You might get rerouted to, re-upping your contract with your shitty cell phone provider. No, don't do it.
Oh, God. Okay, well, let's bring it back across the pond, back here home stateside.
You're not impressed with my bacon.
No, I am impressed. I just can't believe that. I'm really amazed that.
You obviously don't appreciate the bacon.
The 999 operator was willing to entertain the conversation, I guess.
I hear you.
That's the thing. I guess it kind of blows me away. I would have been like, I don't know, whatever.
Well, keeping it on our side of the street, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so up in Richmond or whatever. So Henrico, I know that, I think they pronounce it Henrico or something like that, but that's where I always go, the Richmond race.
I was thinking Rico Suave. That
Rico Suave.
Early 90s song.
So basically out of Richmond, Virginia, luckily the CBS Channel 6 news affiliate, they covered a story where an 82-year-old woman, she woke up and thinking that her dog climbed into bed with her next door, but it ended up being something else. Just give it a listen.
Not her dog.
And I said, Cooper, what are you doing in my bed this time of night? And I held my hand up for him to smell my hand, and then I realized it was somebody.
Somebody, a stranger, in her bed at 2:30 in the morning. 82-year-old Reba Shook says this nightmare was her reality on Sunday.
I said, well, I don't know what you're after, but you ain't going to get nothing here.
Shook says she jumped up and fought for her life.
And then I started scratching him, and, you know, of course I said some bad words.
She said some bad words.
Son of a gun.
I love this lady, man. She said, and she goes, I said, well, I don't know what you're after, but you ain't going to get nothing here.
That's awesome.
Dude. And then, and of course, I was clawing and scratching him, and I said some bad words.
I want to hear Morgan Freeman narrate that story.
So, dude, I think the best part, about this is that after the fact, so what does Ms. Shook do? She decides that, I'm going to go buy a gun. So she went out and bought a duck.
Well, honestly, that's a logical thought process.
No, I absolutely do. She goes, I'm going shopping for a gun. If anybody values their life, they won't climb into my window.
They won't climb into my bed.
But the police confirmed that they're investigating this incident and added it was the second such incident in this Crestview neighborhood that they've experienced in the last 2 weeks. So obviously there's some perp out there who thinks it's appropriate. Just the, I don't know, climb into bed with people or whatever. So
maybe he likes to hear older women curse. Maybe yeah. That's what he's doing it for.
Listen, just don't mess around with Reba Shook because she will... She will get you. She will claw you and say some bad words. But
she's a sweetheart.
If you're in the Crestview neighborhood or if you know of anything, please contact local authorities and help bring this knucklehead to justice. So.
Well, you know, I've got a very interesting story.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up with this. It does involve another elderly person.
Oh, okay.
An 81-year-old man. This is nuts.
Yeah?
Who was caught humping a bush in his yard while naked.
Wait a minute. It was a bush. Now, is there a pun there? He was humping a bush? Or is it actual bush, maybe, a green hedge, like possible thorns and poison ivy, and he's humping that? Or
maybe he was just putting his stick in his hedgerow.
Oh, jeez.
No, he was humping a bush. Oh. Charged with public indecency. I don't know whether or not there was any dementia involved with this. Or if it's just a crusty old dude who just doesn't care and is shameless.
And where was this
and
at?
Just wanted to put on a show.
Does it say where it was at?
No, this happened in Connecticut, of all places.
Connecticut, New England. Huh?
Yeah. Mm. Getting freaky nasty with the foliage in his yard.
The foliage in his yard. So was he arrested or did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was arrested.
So you can't hump your own bushes even if it's on your own property?
He was charged with second degree breach of peace and public indecency.
But he's on his property, right? Can't
that's the catch 22.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Connecticut laws are, but I'm sure. I mean, you can't be charged with disorderly conduct on your own property.
Yeah.
But I think if you were naked within public view,
okay, good to know.
I think it's another thing. But he was completely naked in his yard, and
maybe he's one of those nudists.
His neighbor witnessed him allegedly humping a bush.
Nice. God, love it, dude.
Maybe he just likes to do yard work naked, and there might have been a thorny vine.
Yeah, maybe
that got wrapped around his man junk.
Maybe the bush
and maybe
just
he
him
was
on.
Struggling to get away from it, and it just looked like he was humping.
See, this is where I wish our listeners could see what we do because you're over here with your hands out. You're making hip thrusting freaking moves or whatever. It's like, really, dude? See, that's the essence of whether it's podcasting, radio, or just anything that's audio. You don't get the visual aspect of it because that was worth a million right there.
Are you traumatized?
Hey, right up there with last week in Kevin Bacon's junk, yeah.
I was wondering, it probably brought flashbacks of Kevin Bacon's junk, didn't it?
Oh, God, man. 2 weeks in a row, we can't let that die. Yeah, sweet.
So, for those of you that love to do yard work naked, make sure you have a privacy fence, especially if you're going to hump your foliage.
Or a loincloth.
Yeah. Knew I want to foliage you. It's going to be, that's a code for horticulturalists who get off on plants.
Nice.
Dude, I totally want to foliage you. Let's go foliage.
Oh, man.
You got anything to wrap it up there, amigo?
Nah, I think you said it all, my friend.
we're gonna wrap it up on humping a bush.
Yeah.
Right. We all want to in one way or another, right?
Exactly.
Well, make sure you tune in next week. Another episode coming your way in the back catalog, always available to you online, beerarmy.org, as well, not only on iTunes, but Stitcher and Podbean. So definitely check it out. And thank you so much for engaging us here on Beer Army Engaged.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.